Why did I ever even mention it?
How did your writing go yesterday? How was it? Did you write for a couple hours?
I wrote for 1 hour.
All right.
What number does he wear? He's a baseball player. What number does he wear?
I am not going to answer any more questions about it. You'll have to read it.
Do you have any siblings?
Enough.
Parents together? Divorced?
Together. I'll tell you that. They're together.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so we brought the Michael Thompson's hanging out today. Momo is in for John. We've been chasing the San Francisco Giants for months now. They do not lose. They've now won 9 in a row. Every night, we look great. I mean, we're winning games. We beat the Padres, swept them. We're going to sweep the Diamondbacks, but the Giants just are not missing a step. And at some point, you think, I don't know, there aren't enough games for us to catch up. If the Giants don't start losing, maybe we resign ourselves to the one-gamer, to the one-game play-in. What do you think, Michael?
Well, if you do have to succumb to the one-game play-in, so what? Just go there and win it. But I think they got time to catch the Giants, Mace. So they're not, what are they, 2 games back, 3 games
Two and a half games. It's been 2.5 games for a week.
With about 15, 16 games to play?
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
At 15, 16, yeah, exactly. So Momo, what do you? Yesterday, you sort of did resign yourself.
Yeah, I kind of did. I think it's almost reverse psychology. Like I was just like, for a while there, I thought the Giants were just going to fade, and it looked like they did, and everything looked as we were waiting all year because it should just be the most talented team over the course of and this is my hot take, Michael. You might have missed this. Mm-hmm. The baseball season is long.
Oh yes, I heard that.
You're
so
right.
So when you have a large sample size, talent should play. Like it just. It should, over the course of 162 games, the best team should win. But
that's the thing. We do have more talent.
Yeah, the Dodgers are more talented. They're deeper.
Like if you gave me a choice, okay, you can have the Giants roster or you can have the Dodgers roster. I would take the Dodgers roster every single time.
But baseball is such an individual sport. The individuals always got to get hot at the right time, right?
Yeah. No, everybody's got to heat up at the same time. You're absolutely – but we're winning. That's the thing, Michael. We're already winning. It's not like, hey, we're losing our way out of this race. We're winning our way through this season, and we're not picking up any ground. It is frustrating as hell. Let's go to Freddie in Glendale. Freddie, you're on 710. What's up, man?
How are you?
Great, man.
Good. It's the Mason, Momo, and Michael show. I like
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. Who needs our?
I love it. I love it. You know, with the time that's left, we can't resign ourselves to the one-game playoff. We have plenty of time. You got to give the Giants credit. But schedule-wise, other than the Braves, who else are the Giants playing that might give them a little bit of a series?
Aside from the Braves, listen to this. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons I'm concerned. Aside from the Braves, they go on to play San Diego for 3, Colorado for 3, the Diamondbacks for 3, and then San Diego for 3 again.
Yeah. And just one other thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about the one game who we might play. Who we don't want to play is the Cardinals and Adam Wainwright. I believe if you look at the record, the Dodgers versus him, it's not really good.
Yeah, and Adam Wainwright would absolutely start that one game. Here's the hope, though. The hope is they have to play all the way through, and Wainwright's number gets called so he's not able to pitch in the one-gamer. Because he may pitch in game 162 for a playoff spot. So maybe we dodge Wainwright. But Wainwright just shut us down last week. You're absolutely right. And I hate the Cardinals. The Cardinals are on my hate list.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
I just got a quick question for you. You come in every Wednesday, right?
Right.
Voluntary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Ireland sort of ordered me, so I don't mind. I like it.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Above and beyond. Above and beyond. Yeah. Thanks, Freddie. Appreciate it.
I miss the guys.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I miss these stiffs when I don't get to come up here. Jorge and Greg and Lindsay when she was here.
I'm usually there, but just not this time.
I know. I like when Ramona's in the studio, folks, because she tells me all the dirt off the air.
Do you think I'm better off the air or on the air?
Well, you can't say stuff off the air. We're all better off the air. You know?
You've got dirt off the air.
You just can't say it on the air. But you're good on the air. Because you do come up with some stuff that we don't.
You can't just blurt stuff out.
Right.
I mean, I could, but I would.
Because you'll get aggregated.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And then the people you work with will be upset.
You know what's funny? I can almost predict what I'm going to get aggregated for.
Yeah.
I can almost, like the other day I was on the jump and they would ask, look, it's early September. We don't have anything to talk about. We're talking about the same stuff we were talking about in August, right? Like, it's the same. There's not much new going on. And it was because Trae Young went to Madison Square Garden. So it was like, oh, let's do a Trae Young segment. Mm-hmm. Cool. Like, he was at WrestleMania. Or what was it, WrestleMania?
Just Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw. It was cool. He did a whole thing. And then so we talked about Trae at WWE, and we spun it into, like, hey, what does Trae need to do to get better? How can he improve? And I was like, well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what he needs to do, right? He has to become a better defender. But he's never going to be a great defender. He just needs to look at Steph Curry and say, okay, Steph's found a way to be that kind of a defender where you're not a negative out there. Right. But he's also playing next to Clay, so that helps. They've tried to draft guys like that. And, and I think Trae would tell you the same thing. Okay, that was my mistake. I said, I think Trae would tell you the same thing. That was just a phrase.
Uh-huh.
That's just a phrase that you say. But the aggregators hear it, and they go, oh, Ramona says Trae would tell you the same thing.
What's wrong with that?
I know, but I didn't mean that. But
Michael, you get it. She says something, and then it shows up in everybody else's article.
It's like a headline. Right. Yeah. It's a headline. And I'm like, that's not a headline. That's just a phrase that people use.
Right,
like,
and that's something Trae Young would have been to say, I got to get to better defensively.
Well, but do we know that? Have I said, hey, Trae, would you tell me the same thing? No. Yeah. But
right. You didn't hear it directly from him. You just say he would have said the same thing.
I think that because I know him and I know how he thinks and I know he wants to be a great player and he wants to win championships. And he's had interviews before where he said something like that.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's frustrating. It's like amazing. Can you imagine if everybody just followed you around transcribing everything you say all day?
Oh, my God.
It's like
you mean including off the air?
No. Only on the air.
Only on the air?
But you say a lot of dumb stuff on the air.
I do. I say a lot of dumb stuff. Please don't aggregate me. So I'm not aggregatable, to be honest.
Mace, I was looking up the stats between the Dodgers and the Giants. You said the Dodgers are a lot better than them. Then why do the Giants as a team have a much better batting average if the Dodgers have better players?
Because the Dodgers focus not on batting average, but OPS. That's the number, which is on-base average plus slugging. The other thing is the Dodgers have a better pitching staff considerably. The Dodgers have the best pitching staff in baseball. The Giants have the second-best pitching staff in baseball. So the Giants are no joke. I mean, I think they got more home runs than the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken.
So they're just as good as the Dodgers then, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but top to bottom, give me the Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers have the bigger names. Seager, Bellinger, Turner, guys who've been all-stars and all that stuff.
The Giants have a bunch of old guys who are having, ride off into the sunset, have a big year kind of
guy. So they're the Lakers this year.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if I do. I mean, Buster Posey to me is a Hall of Famer probably, right?
Absolutely a Hall of Famer.
I don't know Brandon Crawford, probably not a Hall of Famer.
No, God, no.
Brandon Belt, just a good player.
Just a good player.
They're not even the Lakers. Like, it's just they have the same kind of blueprint for how you build a good team that the Dodgers do because they got the Dodgers' former GM.
Correct. John Michael, that's the thing. Farhan Zaidi, who was the Dodgers GM, went up to San Francisco and runs baseball operations.
Yeah.
So weirdly, the teams have great similarities. Yeah. And it's interesting that it's Andrew Friedman versus Farhan Zaidi with 2.5 games.
Because Farhan and Andrew were they were really good together as a partnership. Andrew was the president, Farhan was the GM. But Farhan had been the GM up in Oakland too. So he has that, they both had that. So Andrew was Tampa Bay small market team, gets a chance to run the big market team. Farhan had been in Oakland, small market team, not a lot of resources, money, et cetera. Now he get a chance to run the big market team. So they have very similar backgrounds where you come with that small market mentality of trying to find players that are not necessarily stars. Like every year the Dodgers have won, this is about 8 years in a row, if they win the West, if they win the NL West, have they had – Is there any MVPs in that stretch? I'm trying to think back. Cody Bellinger.
Bellinger. Yeah. And a few Cy Youngs.
Yeah, well, those.
Kershaw.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like every year they're just built around one great player.
Yeah.
It's a different. Bellinger's hitting like 179.
159.
Yeah, Bellinger.
159 now?
159.
Whoa,
159.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even tell you who the Dodgers MVP is each year. Like this year's probably Max Muncy.
Bergman says release him. How about that?
I did not say release Bellinger.
Why
at the end of the year, you trade him.
Yeah, he says get rid of him. I still think he's going to work it out. I've seen he had a hard hit ball last night. He was 0-for-3, but he had a hard hit ball. It just found the second baseman.
Yeah.
I still think Cody Bellinger is going to wind his way out of this thing and figure it out. Let's go to Mark in Woodland Hills. Mark, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. The Dodgers, it has to happen for the most part this weekend. If the Giants lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves, the Dodgers can take 2 out of 3 from Cincinnati, and then the bonus is if the Giants lose tomorrow while the Dodgers are off, the Dodgers can get it down to 1. If it's not down to 1, it's the wild card.
Yeah, and how do you feel about going into a wild card playoff game?
If it's lined up that last weekend against the Brewers, it depends on how the Dodgers play it. If it's lined up where Scherzer plays the one game, I'm all for it. I really am.
Yeah, I feel good about it, but anything can happen in one game. That's the scary thing. Anything, 162 games to get there, and anything can happen. Yeah.
Mason, if I may add a USC candidate that no one seems to be talking about that checks all those boxes, what about Josh McDaniels?
Interesting. I've always thought that Josh McDaniels is waiting around in New England for Bill Belichick to retire so he can be the guy. That's what I've always thought. Josh McDaniel is an interesting idea. He, in his one run in Denver, it didn't work out. And one of the reasons was he's not necessarily, and this is important to be the USC head coach, you got to be a charming guy. You've got to be able to charm boosters, charm alums, charm donors, and that's not necessarily a strong suit. But from an X's and O's perspective and from an offensive perspective, he would absolutely be a good call. Hey, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it, man. All right, coming up next, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants attention now. Everybody wants attention.
Speaking for yourself, right?
I don't go as far as this particular woman does. Hmm. I've got coming up next for you a lady who cares about her followers more than she cares about her kid. I'll explain that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so Michael Thompson's here. Momo's hanging out. Jorge and Bergman, of course.
I'm texting with not stepdad Leo. We're texting now.
I know.
How do you feel about this? That was a big choice on your part. You
opened
the door.
To let him text you?
Yeah, you opened that door.
That's true. He said, congrats on stating that the Giants are no joke.
Yeah.
He says, it's true. They have that magic year.
No, that's what I wrote him back.
Oh, that's what you wrote. Yeah, might be regular season magic, though. Yeah, I agree with that. He's a Giants fan. He's a 49ers fan. That's why he's going to be my not-stepdad. My not-stepdad. All right, so I want to throw this out there. There is this is a symptom of a disease. Symptom of a disease. There is a YouTube mom named Jordan Cheyenne who had 500,000 subscribers.
Wow. So
which is a lot, right?
It's a lot, yeah.
So the family got some bad news, and her son, Christian, who's 8 years old, was crying. And, of course, what she did was not necessarily console the kid, but to put him on social media, listen to the – I'll play a little bit of it. It's a little bit disturbing, but listen to this.
To bring her home and be part of our family. Put your hand right here. Pray for us. We appreciate it. I love you guys. Bye. Come here. Come closer for the video. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Put your head right here. Come closer. Close your hand. Put your head down here. Act like you're crying. Really quick.
I am crying.
All right. There you have it. Can you believe that exists in the world?
Yeah, of course. It's a bunch of...
She just wants to have... So
attention.
I'm just... She just wants to put all her whole life on YouTube, right?
Isn't the disease in our culture fame?
Oh yeah, that's definitely part of it. She's a narcissist. She wants the attention, even at the expense of her kid, even at the expense of something private going on in her family. People like that are just weird.
So many people measure themselves by
likes.
Yep.
Likes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You go on Instagram, how many likes?
Insecurity, man. That's people who don't have any self-confidence, high self-esteem.
Yeah, that's what
themselves.
I was going to say. Like, I don't know if it's just the disease is fame. I think it's, like, insecurity.
Yeah.
Because there's something about, like, when you have a center to you, like when you feel centered in your life or you have a,
right.
a basis for feeling good about yourself or an identity, you don't need to do all that.
Right. Everybody, I mean, the world would be better off if we had a bunch of Tim Duncans.
Do you think more good or bad comes from social media?
Oh, way more bad. Way more bad. Oh, yeah, it's not even close.
Why?
People are just bitter and mean out there. They're faceless, so they can say mean things. They can bully people. And a lot of people, you're not one of them, Mace. Well, maybe you are, but Mona's not one. Greg's not one. George's not one. I'm not one. I don't get angry or upset of seeing other people's success or happiness. I might envy them, but I'm not.
Sure.
I'm not mad at them for making a ton of money or being popular or doing something good. But some people out there are bitter, Mace, and miserable.
Well, like I would say, Michael, like you are one of the people I think is the most secure that I know. I don't know. You probably have insecurities. I just don't know about them. But like you're
when you get
life.
To a certain age, Michael, don't you think you're just secure in yourself?
Oh, yeah. But no, you shouldn't be. I mean, as long as you're a good person, as long as you're not doing anything underhanded, don't worry what people think. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Well, but you're successful. Like Mace, both of you have had very successful careers. You've had a good radio career. Michael, you've had a good playing career and radio career. Like, there's a lot of people who, when they get older and they haven't had a good career, they haven't been successful, or their family didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, or whatever. If their life didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, they're kind of bitter.
Yeah, of course.
And they're insecure and upset, and they've got to find a reason why it didn't happen.
But Michael, you have fun on social media.
Oh, yeah,
I follow you on Twitter. You're goofy and funny and interesting and a great guy to follow at Champagne and Nuts. You do have fun with it.
Yeah, I have fun with it, and you know, I talk about sports and I compliment great athletes when they're doing well. If someone's messing up, like the other day when they cheated for Oscar Valdrugs on the Oscar Valdez, you know, I'll say something about it, you know, when it's a blatant cheat job for something like that, when it's so obvious. And of course, some people will disagree with me, but I don't ever let it get to a nasty level.
What I think, Momo, is it would be I know parents have their jobs cut off for them because kids on social media that's really rough.
Yeah,
really rough.
That's the part where when you ask the question, do you think social media has done more good or bad in the world? That's the part where I say bad.
Yeah,
because I think social media has been tremendous for democracy around the world.
Information, democracy, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Clay always asked me, what's the difference between my era and this era? And I just say one thing, social media. We didn't have to deal with this crap you guys got to put up with.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also around-the-clock nature of it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in our era, like Michael, I mean, you're older than me, but like I came up, like, I didn't have my first cell phone until I was out of college. Mm-hmm. So I didn't live where I was always reachable. That's another part of it. But like that idea that you want to bring people into your world and your home. Like I understand this concept of sharing experiences and connecting with people, but there's a difference between doing that to your kid. So I think about that a lot with Daniel. Like I share cute things or funny things or whatever it is, but I'm not gonna share things to him, you know, that are gonna be embarrassing for him later. Can you imagine how that kid's gonna feel like when they're old enough to see that? Oh,
you know, I think that
what do you think, Mace? Good or bad? Social media has been for the world.
I think it's more good than bad,
really?
Only because literally, I mean, democracies have been formed. People have been able to speak out, forms of protest in countries where there are totalitarian dictators and stuff like that. I mean, it's been very powerful in that way. It's allowed people to find people like them, which I think is both a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right. Depending on your values and what you believe in, the idea of finding a collective, finding a place in the world, I think is part of social media. And the other thing is, this is weird, I think that we're creating kind of a, like Momo, I think about you.
Yeah.
So you have videos and pictures up of your son Daniel all the time. And I actually think that someday you're going to look back and be able to see his entire life unfold before you. You have a record of his first steps, his first words, all that kind of stuff. And I think in terms of meanness, Twitter is the meanest.
Yeah.
Instagram is number two. And Facebook is just like for your mom.
Yeah.
Sharing recipes. My mom shares recipes on Facebook. But Twitter is really, really mean. And here's one I want to throw this in. So I have a friend who's an actor, and the actor, he came down to a final role. There were two people up for the role. And you know how they decided who got the role? It wasn't who was a better actor.
How many Instagram followers?
One guy had 75,000 followers, and the other guy had 20,000 followers, and the guy with 75,000 followers got the job.
Wow.
Just because you have – having followers doesn't mean you have merit. You shouldn't be measured by your number of followers. That wasn't really that much fun to me. Was that fun to you?
Yeah, it was interesting.
It was interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
It was very interesting.
All right, so I told a lie today.
Oh, you did.
And I don't know, to me it was really obvious, but you may not have figured it out. Bergman, do you think you know the lie?
I have absolutely no clue what it is.
What time? Jorge, do you think you know?
I think I do.
What time did you tell it? What time? Time frame?
About 2:30.
2:30.
Yep, you were here for it, Michael.
Yeah.
Up next, I will tell you the lie of the day. And also, if you
I think
you know the lie of the day, 877-710-ESPN. We'll give a couple of chances to people. The lie of the day is really tough. If you happen to hit it, you win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. So 877-710-ESPN if you think you know the lie of the day. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. Lie of the day is tough.
I think I got it.
You actually think you have it, Michael?
I think I do.
Okay. Jorge thinks he has it, too. Momo, no clue. Bergman, no clue. We got a couple of callers. If one of the callers can guess it, they win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. So we'll just take two calls on this. Jose in Eagle Rock, you're on 710. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Best day ever.
All right. Yeah, I know, right? All right, so my guess, it was a little difficult, but my guess, I think it involves golf. I don't think you're going to keep playing golf, and I think you're just going to give up on it.
Jose, thanks for the guess, but I will be playing golf again. I actually have a tee time for Sunday after the Rams game.
Wow.
Thanks for trying, man. Thanks for trying. Let's go to Johnny and Tustin. Johnny, you're on 710. Any idea what the lie of the day is?
Hey, love the show, guys. Mason, I have to say it's going to be the honking at Starbucks. I could have swore I saw you. I didn't hear anybody honking, but I could be off.
Okay. Johnny, you are not correct, but thank you for trying. And by the way, Johnny, thank you, because that means you were listening since the very beginning. You know what, Greg? Give Johnny a Mason and Ireland t-shirt just because I talked about honking in the very first segment of the show, and he's still here. Call back, Johnny, 877-710-ESPN.
Did he say honking or that other word?
Honking. Honking. Okay. I complained about people honking their horns.
Everything, Michael. You find a way for everything.
No, I just thought you meant the other thing that George Jefferson used to call Archie.
Yep, we know.
All right. Let's. Greg, any guess?
No, I was trying to think about it. I can't think of anything that was in today's show that was like that.
Momo, nothing?
Yeah, I forgot to pay attention.
Okay.
At least you're honest.
Michael
I wasn't
Thompson. Honest. Me every time.
Michael Thompson.
I think you lied about your first car.
Nope, my first car was a Chevy Monza, and we did call her Mona. What about you, Jorge?
No, I was with Michael. Michael stole mine.
Yeah. Okay. The correct answer is nobody ever came into the station with a big box of books called The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I completely made that up. We had a great PowerPoint presentation every time with Larry, but he never walked with a big box of books, The Alchemist. So there you have it.
Oh, you sold that lie.
Yeah, I sold it. I try to go deep into the lies. That's the one way you can pick them out. If I add a lot of details, it means I'm probably lying. Oh. So,
Ramona,
Michael.
Can I ask Ramona a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Ramona, this NBA midseason tourney, you heard about it, right? The NBA wants to propose.
Yeah, it's all about the money. It's all
now,
about
they're
money.
Talking about $1 million to each player to participate in this tournament, right? You think that $1 million each will sell it to the players?
$1 million.
Look, it's not quite one-to-one, okay? So, Michael, the whole thing is, you know how in European soccer they have, like, the FA Cup or they have mid-season stuff? So, nowadays, all they're looking to do is sell different packages to TV networks or streaming services. So this would be a new thing that you could sell to the streaming services. Like you could sell the tournament. You could have exclusive. So, like, in football, they get all sorts of money from different networks because they have Thursday night football and Monday night football, Sunday night football. And that's all different, and each one of those is special and exclusive. And so they can sell that off differently than we do in the NBA where you have – there's just games every night. Even the Saturday primetime game, there's probably like three other games going on that night, same time. Like there's nothing exclusive in the NBA. So this tournament would be exclusive. So I actually think it really just depends on how much money they can make by selling those TV rights.
Right, and it adds
if it's
going
to be a lot of money,
Michael.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you think the $1 million will convince LeBron and AD, hey, let's play for $1 million, why not?
No, I mean, but what if they said, hey, let's do this instead of the All-Star break?
No, you got to have the All-Star break because the sponsors love that too much.
Okay, what about this, Michael? Think about it this way. Let's say you can sell the rights to to the mid-season tournament for $100 million. That means that $50 million of that will go to the players and will drive salaries. You think that's not enough?
Because there's 450 players.
No, 450 they need like a billion.
Yeah, there's 450 players
like a billion
in the league. Or more now. They got 15 per roster.
But it would raise the salary cap, wouldn't it?
The salary cap won't go up until the new TV money kicks in.
That's not that much.
It needs to be a lot more than that.
Yeah, it needs to be a lot more. Like 500 million, a billion, something like that. Yeah. It's got to be a lot because you got to split it in half and you got to divide it by 30 teams. And then you got to divide it by
15
guys on each team. Yeah. So it's not that much money. I think it's mostly like, okay, what's the trade-off? Are you still going to play 82 games or are you going to make it 72 games?
Yeah, that's right.
So
you have to cut back.
I don't know if players – like, I think they just kind of see, like, it just kind of seems like a weird thing to add in there. Like, you're working towards a championship.
Yeah.
So what's this weird mid-season tournament?
And if you win the mid-season tournament, do you get a ring? I mean, what do you get?
Yeah, do you get anything?
Yeah, what do you get out of it?
Yeah, I
don't think it works with basketball. It's a soccer thing.
It is definitely a soccer thing. Yeah. Speaking of which, are you watching Ted Lasso, Michael Thompson?
Ted Lasso. I know that name sounds familiar. Who is he?
You've got Ted Lasso.
You
got a TV
Michael.
Show.
You like are kind of. You are Ted Lasso. You are like.
You are
the
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
What's it about? It's on HBO or something.
It's about an American football coach who goes to Europe to become a European soccer coach in Great Britain,
English Premier League.
Yeah, I've seen the previews of that. Yeah.
That's Jason today because he's really funny.
Yeah,
he's really funny and it's really well done. Yeah, it's like you know how Michael likes to watch Hallmark movies.
Oh yeah, Hallmark, like, Lifetime.
I really think you're like the Bahamian Ted Lasso. You are very Ted Lasso-ish.
You mean flexible, adjustable?
No, positive.
Oh yeah.
He's positive. He's quirky. Like I learned something for golf from Ted Lasso. He talked about have the memory of a goldfish. You know, a goldfish has no memory whatsoever.
How did they know that? How did they know that?
Because it's just...
Chris, I agree with you, Michael. How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know that, Mace? They could tell us anything.
Because Ted Lasso said it. Oh. I trust in Ted Lasso.
Right.
And by
like
the way,
somebody once said that, what was it, some animal can't see in colors. Now, how do they know that?
It's a very good question.
Yeah, the animal tell them that's green when it's a blue.
There's got to be a way to test that.
I don't know. I don't know how you can tell that if that animal can't see colors, a certain animal.
Okay, real quick, I want to do something with you, Michael. Mm-hmm. Pro Football Focus. Do you know Pro Football Focus?
Oh, yeah.
They have listed their top five teams from weekend one in the NFL. And I want to give you a shot at guessing who those are. And Momo and Greg and Jorge, too, of course.
I'll let Michael go first, though.
Michael?
Number one, Tampa.
They are number two.
Okay.
But you're right. You got one of the top five.
So I keep going until I miss it?
Yep, you keep going.
Number two, Saints.
Saints are number three.
Oh, number three.
They're definitely there.
So I'm two for two so far,
Two
Ramona.
For two.
Rams got to be in the top five.
Rams are number five.
Ooh, I'm three for three.
Three for three.
Let's see. So I need two more, then Ramona or somebody else will take over. I would say the other one is...
One is really obvious, Michael. I'm surprised you haven't said them. Number one.
Oh, 49ers.
No, the 49ers down the list, San Francisco. Yeah, they're down
the list. All right, so I'm out, so I missed. I got a strike. So you can take over, Mona. Who's the other two?
One's obvious.
What's so obvious?
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of teams played well.
They won.
I don't know, Kansas City.
They have the greatest quarterback in
Kansas
the league.
City?
Kansas City is number
Kansas
one.
Kansas City, yeah.
I thought that was too obvious because they kind of struggled.
That was a close game, though.
Yeah,
that
I thought
close.
They looked pretty ordinary to me.
And then the other one you probably wouldn't get is Seattle at number four.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. That's good, though.
They had a very good week. Very good week. So that's Pro Football Focus. It goes Kansas City, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Seattle, and the Rams, number five. And the Rams, by the way, we talked to Coach McVay earlier, will be it was a hard-hitting interview, wasn't it, Michael?
Oh, that's very tough. I can't believe he didn't hang up on you guys.
Yeah, no, we grilled him. We grilled him. You can hear it on our podcast.
Hey, Coach, do you think Matt Stafford's better than Jared Goff? My goodness. What kind of question is that?
All right. And of course, the Rams are at Indianapolis this Sunday. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is Michael Thompson's game. Michael always does the best games.
And it's about the NFL. Does. The NFL season's underway, so we'll know what you guys know about the NFL and its history.
Excellent. That is coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is Game of Games time, and I'll play, Ramona will play, Jorge will play, and Bergman will play. The score so far in the month of September. Bergman, this is weird.
No, that's normal.
Bergman has won 3 times. I've won twice. Ireland has won once. Jorge has won once, and Momo has yet to scratch.
Yeah.
So here we go, Michael Thompson. Tell me about your game.
Okay, boys and girl. Can I still call you a girl, Mona? Is that all right?
Yeah. I'm good with it.
The NFL season's underway. Anybody know? Okay, here's the first question. Okay. I'll give you guys hints if you don't know the answer.
You didn't come up with a nice rhyme?
Yeah,
for
where's,
this game?
Where's the poem?
Where's my Michael intro?
I changed my mind in here in the last second. I'm going to go with this game.
Where's your verses?
I'll do it for the next week. Okay. I'll give you guys hints if you don't know the answer. Your name's your buzzer, unless otherwise instructed.
Got it.
The NFL season's underway. What season of the NFL is this?
Jorge. Is it the 56th?
No. Oh.
Greg. 57th?
No.
Mason.
Mace.
100.
No.
Momo.
I'm
going to say 61.
102nd season.
Really?
That's right. It's 100 years of the NFL.
That's right.
I'm thinking Super Bowls.
Me too.
Yeah, Super Bowl 56 is coming. I'm always the exact same age as the Super Bowl, 56.
No. Question number two. This kicker has played in the most NFL season, NFL games, 382. Mason.
Adam Vinatieri.
He's second.
Oh.
This kicker played in the – Jorge.
From the Raiders, Janikowski?
No. He's not even –
Is it current kicker?
No, he's retired. Retired.
Oh,
Greg.
Kicked in the NFC.
Is it Gary Anderson?
Close.
Oh, Momo. Morton Anderson.
Yes, Morton Anderson.
Oh. Yes! Woo! That's so exciting.
This position player played in the most games.
Position player.
He was black. Well, that narrows it down.
I'll give you another hint.
He's a wide receiver.
Greg.
Mason.
Jerry Rice.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Dang. Okay.
This player, quarterback kicker, played the most seasons.
Mason. George Blanda.
Yes.
Yep, that's right.
How many seasons did Blanda play in?
Greg. 22.
No.
Mason. 23.
No.
Momo.
Jorge.
18.
No.
Momo. 24.
26.
Oh.
We were all right
closest
in there.
Closest without going over. Momo wins.
No.
Closest to the number without going over. The most consecutive games played was by the punter, Jeff Fiegels. And yes, Fiegels did play for the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
Closest to the number without going over. What is the NFL record for most consecutive games played without going over?
Okay. I will go 140.
140 says Mace.
Momo. I'm going to say 120.
120 says Momo.
Jorge.
160.
160 says Jorge.
Closest without going over?
Without going over.
161.
161. Greg wins.
Oh.
352 is what he played.
What?
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I knew he's got to be way higher. He's got to think 16 games per season.
That's impressive. Yeah.
14 teams have won multiple Super Bowls without pausing for breath. Each of you get to name 3 teams that have won multiple Super Bowls. Each of you.
Momo.
So you don't have to jump in. You'll get a chance. Okay. 2 or more. Okay. That means multiple. So each of you get a point for this unless you can't name your 3 teams and you can't name a team someone else has already named.
Are you going to call on us?
Yes, I'll call you. Momo, ladies first. So you have to name 3 teams to get a point.
Raiders.
Yes.
49ers.
Yes.
Packers.
Very good.
Should I keep going?
No,
nope,
that's
going?
It. No. Yeah, everybody gets 3. All right, let's see. Now, let's go with Jorge. Name 3 teams that have won multiple Super Bowls.
The Patriots.
Yes.
The Eagles.
You're out. All right, Greg.
Steelers.
Yes.
Cowboys.
Yes.
Bucks.
Yes. And Mason.
So I'm
name
left
three teams.
With the toughest one.
That's hard going
back.
That's hard.
Yeah, you got to think what everyone said.
I think I'm trying to remember what everybody said. Did anybody say?
Oh, you don't get to do that. You could just ask the question. Yeah.
Three teams. There's a bunch of teams left with won two or more Super Bowls.
Broncos.
Yes.
Miami.
Yes. One more.
And
should I give him a hint?
No.
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 Give him a hint. That's hard.
No. Stop it. No.
Yeah, give him a hint.
What else got hints? No.
I'll give him a hint.
Momo wins.
Momo wins.
No, yeah, we both get it.
Mason, you didn't mention Ravens. You didn't mention Colts. You didn't mention Washington.
Colts.
And Giants and Kansas City.
That was an easy one.
Yeah.
Giants.
Yeah.
Colts.
So Bergman and Momo both take the point.
This
Bergman 3, Momo 2, me 1, Jorge yet to scratch.
This quarterback has the most consecutive starts at quarterback in history.
Momo.
Momo.
297. Drew Brees.
No. Most consecutive starts at quarterback at 297.
Mason.
He's retired. Give you a hint.
Mason.
Mace.
I'll go Terry Bradshaw.
No.
Jorge.
Greg. Jorge.
Dan Marino.
No.
Greg. Peyton Manning.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Jeez. Wow. Okay.
This D lineman. From 1961 to 78,
I'm out.
Had the most consecutive starts at 270. Played in the NFC.
Momo. Gene Upshaw.
No. D. Lyman.
Oh.
Stole Mason. A record today. Mace.
Deacon Jones.
No. Played for the NFC North.
I'm not going to get anybody on the D-line.
Jim Marshall. Jim Marshall.
We never would have got
that. I would not have got that.
Right.
Come on. I would, you could give me 1,000 guesses. I would not have got that.
Who were the three men? Who were the three men in the original Monday Night Football booth in 1960?
Mason. It was Dandy Don Meredith.
Yes, one.
Howard Cosell.
Yes, two.
And Frank Gifford.
No.
Oh.
I don't
very,
know
very thing. Famous Hall of Fame broadcaster. 1970. Fumble! Whoa, Nelly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Momo.
Momo.
Keith. Jackson.
That's right. Momo.
Yes! There it is.
It's 3-3. Bergman and Momo.
Nelly.
So let's do a tiebreaker, and then we got to end.
This coach with 328 wins is the all-time leader.
Momo.
Mason.
Momo.
I know this.
Momo.
Tom Landry.
No.
Mason. Shula.
Yes.
Wait,
It was between
Greg. Don Shula.
Yeah,
it
was Shula.
Hey, okay, get another
okay,
one.
This one. This one is
Momo
just
and
between
Greg.
Just
you should
between
let me win
because
I'm sorry, my only chance to scratch. You should let me win.
All right, this is a good one. This is a tough one. you guys know your stuff. This running back is the third leading rusher in NFL history. No relation to the other famous activists with his name.
Oh, boy.
This running back is the third leading rusher in NFL history. No relation to the other
famous activist
and
with his name.
Political figure with his name.
Oh,
Bergman
boy,
a... versus Momo.
Yep.
So it's not
activist
that one.
And political figure with the same last name. This running back is the third.
Give it to him, Michael, and ask the next one.
Yeah.
Frank Gore.
Oh, yeah.
What's the political act?
All right. Political. He's an activist.
That threw me totally off.
Me too. I wouldn't have got that either.
Global warming. This running back is the second all-time leading rusher behind Emmitt Smith. Black guy.
Guys, it's on you. It's a black guy. It's
second all-time
rusher. I'm trying to think of his
second
name.
Second all-time leading rusher behind
Momo.
Emmitt Smith.
Momo. Eric Dickerson.
Nope.
No, it's – I'm awful at this. This is really making me upset.
Okay, give him the answer.
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton.
This quarterback is the all-time leading touchdown passer.
Momo. Peyton Manning.
No.
No?
Greg. It should be Drew Brees now.
Nope. Tom Brady, 580.
Oh, Brady passed him.
Yep.
We suck.
Right.
We're still tied. We're still tied.
Just
do one more, otherwise we're going to call it a tie.
All right.
Bill Belichick has 6 rings as a coach and Super Bowl rings. Mm-hmm. Name the other 3 coaches with 3 Super Bowl rings or more.
Momo. I'm just going to do it. Let's just go for it. We're going to go for it. Tom Landry.
No.
No.
One of them's Vince Lombardi.
Nope.
No, he only has 2. Sorry, just end this. This is awful.
Joe Gibbs.
This is embarrassing.
Joe Gibbs, Walsh, and Chuck Knoll.
Okay. We are going to give Bergman and Momo a
point
for that, although they really do not deserve it.
All right.
We really don't.
You guys
should just lose it.
You guys call yourselves NFL fans.
Yes.
Not history.
What's the difference?
I mean, we did okay. We got more than Jorge. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, that's going to do it.
Wow, shots.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Coming up next for you, more Michael Thompson with DeMarco Farr.
Like
we're back tomorrow at 12:55 with Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.